you about some things about it outside of Colossians. You're going to need to have three things. You're going to need to get your Bible. You're going to need the little handout. Did everybody get a handout? Has anybody not got one? Okay. Mike, if you hold your hand up, Mike will bring you. There's Benny. He's got some. And you're going to need the song sheet out of the bulletin, so you can look at some music. You got all that? Write down, Benny. Right over here. We need one too. And right to your down here. Hither, thither, and yon. Okay, right down here, Benny, on the front. Okay. And then on your left back there, they're waving at you. So. Okay. The other thing is, you see, I have a pair of reading glasses that I'm wearing. I was in Detroit Tuesday, and while I was there, Wednesday morning, I left Brother Boucher's house, and we were going out. I had a bunch of things to do. Went to over to Brother Taylor's, and when he took me to the airport, I got to the airport. I had my glasses in my pocket because they're reading glasses, and I don't wear them when I'm out necessarily. And I put them in my pocket. I had them on left arm, so when I got to the airport, I went to get them out to read with, because I had to go inside, and I didn't have them. So I managed to lose them. I didn't do it on purpose, because, those are prescription glasses, a couple hundred bucks for a pair of glasses. You don't want to lose them, but I did. And so I'm wearing these readers. My wife won't let me wear these readers normally. She says it makes me look like Grandpa, which I am. But the real problem is, she said it makes me look like Bill Clinton. And she had a problem with that for some reason. So I'm gonna be fiddling with them, and I recognize that I'll be fiddling with them, okay? And it bothers me to fiddle with them. I have a pair of no-line regular prescription glasses that I was trying to wear, and I just cannot wear them. I cannot wear those no-line things because you can only see out of one little section, and it's right here. And, with these, I can't see anywhere, but I can see the whole thing up here. So anyway, that's I'm confessing that ahead, so if you see me fiddle with it, and it makes me nervous, at least you know why I'm doing it, because I have to wear them to read, and I can't see otherwise. And being a man, I lost my regular glasses, and I haven't had time to go get them changed. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, that's all the confessions that we're going to do this morning, and the rest of this is going to be, it'll be what it is. Heavenly Father, we thank you now for the time we can spend in your word, and we pray that as we look at some things that affect not just what we believe, but what we do and how we feel about life, that we, having trusted your word with our souls and with eternity, we'd be willing to trust your word with our music and our present. We thank you for the privilege of it in Christ's name. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there are some passages that when you consider the issue of music, and let me say, I've talked to you twice now about it, and I've told you both times, I'm not going to try to be your judge or your critic or your instructor in the sense of being your boss. But there's information you need to have in your frame of reference about music. And there are some passages in Paul's epistles that tell you how to evaluate music in your life. Now, I'm not going to go out to your car and go to your house and get your CD collection out. I could, and I could tell something about you if I did that. That's why I'm not going to do it. I don't want to know that about you. Okay? What I want to do this morning is talk to you about how to evaluate music from a scriptural point of view, so that you can understand why we do music here at church the way we do it. I understand that our musical program and when we are singing, about 85% of Christendom doesn't do it the way we do it. I understand that. There's a reason we don't do it the way they do it. I'm going to try to show you that this morning. We're just going to scratch the surface. We're not going to get down and dirty in it and get all the way through with it, but I'll give you enough information this morning that if you don't understand music, you'll understand why we do what we do, at least basically. If you know anything about music, maybe I'll put you on some rabbit trails that you can go and study the thing out and find out some things about why music is the way it is out in the world. The music you listen to in your home today is the music you're going to want at church tomorrow. The music you let your kids listen to is the music they're going to want at church And the chances are they're not going to go to church if they don't get that music. And that's why music is the great driving force for there's a thing today called a music ministry. We have a minister of music, pastors of music. There's nothing like that in the Bible. Music is not a ministry in the Bible. Music is not a means of reaching people in the Bible. It's not a means of reaching people for Christ in the Bible. People say, well, God will use it. Listen, God used the lie of a harlot. Joshua chapter 2. You can put your kid on the street as a streetwalker just because God might use it? No. What God in His grace will do with your failures and your foibles isn't justification for what's right and what's wrong and what pleases Him and what doesn't please Him. Now, I'm saying this up front. I'm going to try to be just real tough when we start here so you're listening to me. I'm not mean and nasty. I'm not going to be mean and nasty to you, I hope. But I want to get your attention. I want to keep you from going to sleep while we go through some of this stuff, okay? Because I know for some of you it's going to be boring as heck, and some of you are going to think, what in the world are you doing? Listen, it's right to sing. Colossians 3:16, we've already studied that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, we've already studied that. Make you singing. You're told to do it. There's a lot of things we don't do as grace believers. We're told by Paul to sing. So it's right to sing, but we want to sing right. Sing in a way that pleases God. Now, I'm not going to go home and try to tell you what to listen to at home. I want to explain to you why we do it here. So that regardless of what you hear, and listen, you're going to hear this stuff out in the world, you can't help it. I was at Jewel the other day trying to buy some grapes and some fruit, and there's stuff piping in. You can't help it. And pretty soon you're sitting there going with it. It's everywhere. I was at the dentist office this past week. It's piping it in. I asked the guy, I said, what makes you think that kind of music that you're playing in here while I'm sitting in here trying to get ready for you to come in here and stick me with that needle is relaxing me? That music isn't relaxing anything, man. It's hyping me up in here. You play something soothing. Because music affects you. We've already seen. Music does two things. One, it impacts your spirit, your soul, and your body. We saw that with Saul, 1 Samuel chapter 16, and David. It impacts your spirit, your soul, and your body. And two, it controls you. Daniel chapter 3. Good music, bad music, all kinds of music, when they heard it, they bowed down. So music will do two things in your life. It's going to impact your spirit, your soul, and your body. And if you're not aware of how it does it, music is the only language in the world that affects people even when they don't know what's happening. So you need to understand some things about music. How it affects you, how it affects your spirit, your soul, and your body, because it's going to control you. It's designed to do that. And you want to be sure that you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Okay? Then 1 Corinthians 14, there are some verses that help you to understand how to look at music. If you look with me at verse number, I want verse number 7 and 8, but look at verse 10. Now this passage is a passage about the spiritual gifts, speaking in tongues, gift of prophecy in this passage, but I want you to notice what he talks about the context, verse 10. There are, that it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. He's talking about voices in the context here. And he's going to make a point, verse 7. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, musical instruments, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? Notice there is a distinct way the music is to sound. One sound tells you, charge. One sound says, retreat. Would it be good to know the difference between those two? Sure it would. So music is to give there is a distinct sound involved in music. Verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with what? The understanding also. You see, if you don't sing with understanding, understanding the music, the voice, and the distinction of the sound that goes out. When we talk about music, and I'm not going to talk to you today about the words in the music, the doctrine. Just talk about the music, the sound that you're hearing. You need to be able to evaluate music so that you understand the impact it's going to have, you understand the control it's going to have, and so that you know what's going on. Now, verse number 33 and verse number 40 are two verses. And get your hold your hand there and come with me to Proverbs chapter 11. We'll get a little Old Testament verse here. Proverbs chapter 11. And here are three verses that are the basic fundamental keys to how to find music in your life that pleases God. Now, as I said, it's not going to be easy. The world you live in, if you're under 30 years old today, you have never been fed a steady diet of music that pleases God. And if you're over 30, it was way back when you maybe heard it. But if you're under 30 years old today, you remember we studied last time about music? God set it up, and what happened to it? It degenerated. God restored it, and what happened to it? It degenerated. God restored it, and what happened to it? It degenerated. And I said to you, music is the only place. Christians don't believe in evolution. Or they do believe in evolution. People deny evolution of the species. They deny evolution and everything else. But they believe music is getting better and better and better. And the book indicates it's not. It starts out high and it degenerates. We saw that. That was my whole purpose last week in going over the music in the Bible, is to show you that pattern of the way music operates. And the fact is that the day in which you and I live, the music that we listen to or that we are exposed to is music that is designed not to please God. It's designed to please you. Whether it's contemporary Christian music or gospel music or bluegrass music or jazz or the blues or rock or whatever it is, the easy listening stuff or whatever that is for you, that's easy for you to listen to. And I'm going to show you as we go through here where that comes from. But these three verses right here, if you'll take them to heart. Now, if you want to blow it off, you don't care, that's fine. You can sit through the morning and, you know, I hope you don't go to sleep. But if when you have a desire, and the reason we do, what I want you to get out of it, is what the reason we do hear our music the way we do it and not the way, I understand you could put up the music of the world, bring it in here, and you can, you know, you get people to come easily. There are people that come here. We've had people come the last month, visit, go away. And they went away because they didn't like the way we sing. Well, I don't want people coming here because of the way we sing or not coming. I want you to come because of the doctrine we teach. Whether we sing or we don't sing, whether we sing good or we don't sing good, I'd rather have somebody stand up here and sing like I sing, just kind of twirl along, and be singing the right kind of music and the right doctrine, than have somebody stand up here and be wonderful and take you to the heights of the Jitterbug Jesus business, touch your heart, have you crying, and be singing a bunch of slop. A bunch of mealy-mouth stuff that doesn't amount to anything. I'll show you, I'm going to sit at the piano a little while, and I'll show you why contemporary Christian music is gutless. It has to do with the way it's written. It has nothing to do with the people doing it. Good people, nice people, wonderful people may be doing it. But if you write bad music, if you follow the rules of music that cause it to be weak, what kind of music do you get? Weak music. There are rules, and that's what I'm getting ahead of myself, but look at the verse. Verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion. Underline that, will you? God is not the author of what? Confusion. God doesn't produce confusion. So if you've got confusion, do you have something that God's interested in? Does it commend itself to God? No, but of peace. Verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in what? It isn't decent if it isn't in order. There is an order and a structure to the way God does things. We know that when we study dispensationalism. You can't miss the fact that God is a God of planning, order, and structure if you study your Bible. Now, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. And if you take that word balance, you've got the key to good music. When I say good music, I'm talking about music that pleases God. Music that pleases God is balanced. It's not confusion. It's orderly. Now, when I say that, you say, Brother Rick, what in the world are you talking about music and orderliness and that kind of stuff? Well, if you take that sheet I gave you, music is a language. A language has grammar. When you write a sentence, you have a subject and a predicate. You know that the subject is to be a certain kind of a part of speech, the predicate is to be another, then it'll have a direct object, a predicate nominative. It has structure to it. If you see a prepositional phrase, you know how to diagram that at least maybe you still diagram them. If you're old as I am, you learn to diagram. But you learn the parts of speech. Well, in music has three parts of speech. There are three things that make up music: melody, harmony, and rhythm. And those three things are what music is constructed out of. Melody, that's the tune. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing, it's worth. It's a tune. That's the music, the words. The melody is designed to carry the words. It's designed to help you understand the words and to say the words and to preach the words. Now, melodies are constructed in very specific ways. There's an exact mathematical design that you construct a melody with. There are seven notes. You're sitting at the piano. Play a C to a C, would you? Just play a C to a C. There's seven notes. It goes A to G. And the... Then go A to G? Yeah. Now, you hear that last one? Do that again. When you hit that last one, you hear how... when you hear that, do it again and play the A after it. Play A again. You see, hear how that eighth one kind of made you feel better? Didn't it? When you played the seventh, each one of those notes has a name. Now, that's a chord. And that seventh one is the lead, the leader. It's designed to make you want to go to the next one. So you go eight to eight. But the eighth note is the octave up from the first. Now, by the way, there's a guy here this past week working on the piano. To tune that piano, what they do to tune the piano is to bring a tuning fork in here. And boom, and it has a certain mathematically identifiable vibration pitch. Okay, timbre. And he puts it on these instruments here, that's how they tune them. How you tune a guitar, banjo, the violin, is you get that first one, and then the next note, the next step up is exactly a double of that, and it's a mathematical formula. That's why it sounds right. And that way, any chord you run, when you apply the math, they all sound alike. They just sound a little further up, a little further down. Now that's harmony. Harmony is when you play two or more notes at one time. Okay? So if you play one note, you're going to play the melody. And that's going to carry the words. But the harmony carries the melody. And that's the chords. And all of this is math. All of this is order. All of this is an exact science to it. Melodies run horizontally. Bum, 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 bum. Chords, harmony, runs vertically. Boom. You play a chord. Just play a chord. Any chord. See, now she's playing a bunch of notes at once. Boom. And when you play the chord, that gives some punch to it. The melody sort of, but the chord gives a punch and gives some solidity to it. Now, the chord is how you get your feelings affected. By the way, the melody makes you think something. Harmony makes you feel something. Rhythm makes you do something. Okay? Each one's designed to affect your spirit, your soul, and your body. In the right-hand side, where that chart where I put the circles, the first one, the melody impacts what? Your spirit. Right? Spirit in that circle. Harmony impacts your what? Your soul. Rhythm impacts what? Well, what's left? Your body, your flesh. Well, over there in Philippians, and by the way, I want you to write down a verse by each one of those. Under spirit, write Philippians 3:3. Under soul, write Ephesians 4:16. And under flesh, write Romans 13:14. You got that? I should have put all that in there for you and didn't have to tell you all this, did I? Philippians 3:3. By the way, you have a spirit, a soul, and a body. We're going to study this tonight. We're in Galatians 5, 16, and 17 in the evening studies, and we're studying this in great detail. I don't have time to go through all this morning with you. But the issue of spirit, soul, and body, 1 Thessalonians 5:13, that's how God works. He starts in your spirit. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. The Spirit of God works through His word as your spirit. As you and your inner man trust it, He works with your inner man. That's where God works in you in your life through His word directly. And then through His word working out through your soul and your body. Philippians 3:3, Paul says, we are they which worship God in the spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. So which of those three things are you going to worship God in? In music, the place in music you're going to worship God is where? The melody. Because we worship God in spirit, and the melody is what matches your spirit. That's what God's interested in, is the melody. Come back with me to, you know Ephesians 5:19. Look at Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51. This is not new stuff, folks. This stuff goes all the way back to Cain. In fact, it goes all the way back to creation. Isaiah 51 goes back to Lucifer. Isaiah 51, verse 3, talking about the kingdom when God's going to redeem Israel. He says, for the Lord shall comfort Zion, He shall comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. There's going to be a pure music that God's going to restore to them, and it's going to be carried in the melody. Now come over to Amos chapter 5 and notice that that's not always the way it is at church. Amos chapter 5. We looked at this passage, I think, last time. Amos 5, verse 21. God talking to Israel about their church services. He said, I despise your feast days, Amos 5:21, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beast. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vowels. They've got a melody that God says is nothing but noise. Now, it is a melody, but God said it's not a melody. I won't take it away. So their church music had degenerated from something that God designed it to be into noise, into violating the rules of the language of music to the extent that God said it's just noise. So melody is where God wants it. God's Spirit works through His Word, and melody and music is designed to carry the words. So Philippians 3:3 is going to help you understand that part of it. Come with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 16 is a verse about harmony. Harmony is designed to make you feel something. This is where your emotions get involved. This is where your feelings, your affections. This is where the sensual comes in. That your senses get involved now. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. From whom, talking about Christ, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. When the body of Christ is working properly, based on sound doctrine, it will be fitly joined together and compacted. You're going to be tight with one another, we say. Well, the same thing is true of music. There is an order to music. There is a melody, a harmony that is clean. When I say clean, I'm not talking about sinful things. I'm talking about it's a clean sound. And then there's a dissonant kind of sound. And the dissonant kind of sound is the kind of sound that is disjointed. You know, you can have harmony can produce tension various feelings. It's designed to when the tension comes up. It's designed to have resolution in it. Let me sit there at the piano just a minute. I'm gonna demonstrate to you what I'm trying to say to you. It'll be easier for me to do it than to tell Cindy to do it because she didn't know what I'm talking about half the time, and most of the time I don't either. But a chord. There's that C chord, 1-3-5. You add that seventh up there, it makes it strong. Hear that? Hear how much stronger that is? That's because I got that. See, that you wanted to go up there, so now it's strong. Now that's a major chord. Now if you want to make a minor chord, see how different that is? You see the tension that introduces? If you want to augment it, See how different that is? I only change one note. Makes a difference. Now, try this. How's that make you feel? Happy. See, I put that little jazz chord in there. A jazz chord, all you got to do to make jazz. There's your C chord. Okay? You just, instead of going up there, that's called a sixth, a C6. You don't know anything about music, your eyes glazing over, I know. But that's how you do it. That's math. It's math. If you're never good at math, you learn something about music, you'll be good at math. You won't even know it. That's a jazz chord. That's how you write jazz. You should do that. And all you're doing is just changing a couple of sharps and a flat. But it's all a C chord. It's all a good chord. But listen to that. It makes you feel good. Well, let me play you another one. How you feel about that? Kind of a downer, isn't it? Put a major. See, that's kind of a minor doubt. But then all of a sudden, right at the end, it resolves. So what the tension is for is to affect the way you feel. And when you feel that way, what good music will do, what the right kind of using it properly, is you don't leave yourself hanging out there. You bring it up there, and then you resolve it, and you solve things. You bring order to it. Is it confusing to leave things unresolved? What kind of music's going to please God? Okay, so I know what to... Doesn't mean I can't have confusion in life. Do you have confusion? 1 Corinthians 4, there was plenty of confusion. He's telling them how to resolve it and get over it. So harmony is going to affect the things the way you feel, and it's going to get involved in... And by the way, I'm up now. The first, third, and fifth, and that seventh, when you make a chord like that, That's how you make a strong chord, that third note. When you emphasize that, that's the weakest note in the chord. If you leave that, if there's any note in a chord you leave out, that's the note you leave out. That's the note, musically, Christian contemporary music consistently emphasizes. There's more than the beat involved in this. We're talking about even the harmony. Jazz, you add the seventh and the ninths in the chording. Then you get the offbeat. Then you get the blended and the scooping notes and the riffs and the bridges and that kind of thing. Boom, 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 boom. I didn't do it, but when you play that song, you come boom, 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 boom to it's called the in-between note, the bridge, bring you up to the next chord. And a lot of times you want you to do that because in your mind you hear the things going up. In jazz, the key is in that bridge you have a rift. You just see how many notes, legal notes, you can play in the minor chords in between. You got your sheet music there? I forgot to do this. Take out any of them and notice all the lines that music says. Do you know what all those lines and all those little dots and things with little flags on them are? The notes? Now, if you don't know anything about music, that doesn't mean a thing to you. But that tells you what notes on the piano to play. It tells you how long to hold that note and stay on it. That's what rhythm does. Rhythm, without rhythm, you'd just be playing stuff all over, you couldn't keep it together. The melody carries the words. The harmony carries the melody, and the rhythm keeps you together. Well, I like that word, I think I'll sing it longer. I like this word, I think I'll sing it faster. Well, we do that sometimes. When I play, when I played, gee whiz, I'm through and y'all are still singing. Our rhythm isn't the same. See, everything else can be perfect, but we need to be at the same rhythm. The pulse, the beat, needs to be consistent. So rhythm is extremely important. Without it, you'd have nothing but noise. If you have the proper rhythm. And everybody goes by the rhythm. Now, but the rhythm is designed for your flesh. It's designed to keep your flesh in order. Keep all the words coming out together. Okay? Now, harmony, by the way, what I want you to see about this is, you notice, turn it over to Jesus. You notice on the front page, I'd rather have Jesus. You've got the top, it's got that little squiggly look like an ampersand. That's a treble clef. On the bottom, it's got that look like the backward C with the two dots after it. That's the bass clef. The two clefs, that tells you, the top one is everything above middle C, the bottom is everything below middle C, always, never changes. By the way, have you ever listened to Oriental music, Islamic music, Arabic? Their music is not tied to any science. Around the Greeks back in the before the time of Christ developed modern music. They developed the seven note scale, and they did it based upon physics of the universe. And the science of timbre and sound. In the Orient, that Eastern, they actually had 20 or 22 notes, none of which are tied to anything except what the guy that wrote the note wants it to be. That's why you get all these goofball sounds they're real sounds, but there's no science to the way they're put together like there is in the music that you're used to. That's the reason modern music, it's fascinating to study. You start with the Greeks and you go through the Dark Ages. Well, people weren't allowed to sing in the Dark Ages. If you weren't a Catholic priest or in academia, you couldn't sing like you couldn't have a Bible. But when the Reformation and the Renaissance came along, life began to come. What did people do? They get a Bible, and you know what else they got? They got a songbook. You know who designed the hymns that you sing, the structure of the hymns? They're called a chorale. I've got a book up here I'm just bouncing around here. Here's a book of chorale music written by Johann Sebastian Bach. This is the one I played in when I was a kid. There are 45 organ chorales. A chorale has four parts to it. You know what a symphony is and a sonata and all that kind of different kinds of music? The chorale, Martin Luther invented the chorale. And your hymn book, your hymns, the way our hymns are structured, the meter structure and so forth of hymns, are designed according to the chorale. By the way, rock music. Did you know that rock music is the structure of your hymn book with a pagan beat put to it? That's how it is. You see people all over the town, rock music's of the devil. It's your hymn book with the wrong beat. Structurally. When you have, one of the things in chorales you have is repeats. They're called chants, where you repeat it. You ever listen to a piece of music? Somebody sing it, you know. And what do they do? It's the same thing over and over and over. But it tends to be noise. I was listening to some music with some kids the other day, and I said, what are they saying? I said, I can't tell what they're saying. They didn't know it. I thought it's my hearing, it's getting bad. They couldn't understand the words either. And you know what it was? It was just noise. Charlie and I were standing at a thing the other day, and I said, listen to that music, it's just noise. But it's the same thing over and over. And the beat, the rhythm, is in the melody. Now, what's the melody doing? It's carrying what? Your flesh, not your spirit. See how you can get that stuff, how it can degenerate and not be good for you? Romans 13, verse 14, I didn't read that with you about the flesh. He says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh. You say, but Brother Jordan, I like it. I know you like it. Sure you do. But you spent so much time, what are you going to do? Go out of the world? You can't go out of the world. You just got to deal with it. That's why when you come here, we just, I know it sounds different, but at least we've got it somewhere where you're not hearing all that other junk. You've been taught, you've been fed, you live in a world where your flesh has been so pampered with what pleases it everywhere it goes, that for you to hear clean music, and I'm not talking about the words and the suggestions, and don't use some dirty words, I'm talking about clean music that follows the rules and the order of music. When it uses tension, it resolves it, for example. It's not using scooping notes, it hits the note. You know what a scooping note is? I'm trying to find the note. Well, nowadays, people do that so they can show you they got a big range. That's just jazz. That's the blues. That's where that comes from. I can hit all these notes in between and then I get to the real one, see? How talented I am. Now, who's the issue? The issue isn't the melody. The issue is the performance. Now, who are you singing for? Yourself. You say, I like it. I know you do. I like it, too. I'm going to play you some in a minute, and we'll be up here dancing. We're not gonna, but we could be up here dancing. Because the rhythm affects your flesh. Okay? My point, that's the melody. Carry the words. There's where you're gonna please God. Because there's where the truth can be put into your heart. Now your heart is in your soul. And the harmony is designed to affect your soul with the truth. And bring your senses, your emotions into line with the truth that it supports the melody. And the beat's designed to get, if the harmony's tight, fitly framed, music, when you went through the Dark Ages and came to the Reformation, after the Reformation, that's the time of the King James Bible, the time of Martin Luther, the time of the founding of America, the time of the greatest evangelism period the world's ever seen, during that period socially. Musically, it's called the Baroque period and the early classical, which is the Romantic period. Music reached structurally its highest form in the late Baroque and early classical. That's the time of Handel, Bach. When you get to the Romantic period, that's Beethoven. Beethoven hated God. He used all of the Baroque structure, but he emphasized the emotion, and he began to bring emotion. You can listen to some of his sonatas, and you can literally see in your mind the leaves falling out of the trees. He's so effective with it. Because the melody puts thoughts into your mind, makes you think. But what's he making you think about? You come up here and did this. Every one of these chorales is something about the Lord Jesus Christ and something about the truth of the Word of God. Beethoven hated God. But he used the music, and that's when the music began to degenerate. And after the Romantic comes the modern period, and that's the big band era. The big band era, Benny Goodman, Tommy Dorsey, and those guys, some of you are, Bert's old enough to know some of those fellows, and most of you don't remember those guys, but they took that structure and put look, if you're primitive and a barbarian, that's got a sound but doesn't have any melody to it. And you go out in the jungles and in primitive cultures, and they've got musical instruments. Most of them are drums, and occasionally they'll take different sizes of gourds and have a few little different sounds to it. But the most primitive form of sound is not melody. It's not the complicatedness of a chord and the physical the structure of a chord. It's the thump, the rhythm. That's the simplest, most basic, primitive form of music. And what the big band era did in the modern period is they added the beat. You know what made do you know what made the big band sound? They took the saxophone out from the back and put it on the front row. Now, I love the saxophone. That's my favorite wind instrument. And they put it up front where you hear it. That's what you hear. And then they added the beat to the melody. And now the melody is, the beat is in the melody. So whatever the words are, the harmony is carrying the beat into the melody, and now you've got the thing inverted. And out of modern came what's called popular music, which is just a totally disintegrated form of music. Music as it's done today in the modern scene is called free flow. You're the avant-garde if you're free flow. When you were in school, did you learn to write poetry? Roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, and so are you. See, there's a structure to that. I am tempameter and all that stuff that you had to... Well, the free flow stuff, you know, where you don't go by the rules, it's called abstract poetry. Roses are red, violets are blue. Johnny's got a Ford, and I think I want a boat. Oh, Brother Jordan, that's just wonderfully deep. It's not deep. That's just stupid. But that now, see, you throw all the rules out. And that's where you come up with the jazz, the bluegrass. You start making the beat, the melody, carry the beat. You follow what I'm saying to you? I want you to see how, Bob, I'm going to play that tape, Bob, just a second. I want you to see how the rhythm, the pulse, the beat impacts a song. Okay? Now, I'm going to apologize to you for the quality of this. I tried to make it better, but I couldn't figure out how to make a clean recording of this over the PA system and the recorder sitting on the piano and bouncing around. And I wanted a little room in between them to talk to you about what's going on. So you listen. Don't listen to the quality of it. Listen to what he does. Bob, can you play that? All right, what is that? What a friend we have in Jesus. You know that? You recognize it? You know the song. Now, watch what change in it. Just change the beat will do to it. Same song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, but you feel a little more loungy now, don't you? All right, here's another one. That's dancing. church music. It's just the beat. Same song. See how it changes everything? Same song, but the words aren't saying what a different heaven is. One more. That's one I like. I like it. I, you know what? I don't play that. I don't play that. You know why? My flesh gets to liking it. And I don't want my flesh thinking of what a friend we have in Jesus. That's how powerful rhythm is, to change the harmony and the melody. You've got to understand, folks, we're talking about some things that you need to know something about in the structure of music. Music is so structured. It has an exact form to it when it's done right. How many of you know that song I did a minute ago? There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. Play that for us, Cindy. I want you to, you know that song? I want you to sing it with me. Cindy will play it. I'll lead it. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. There is a name I love to hear. Come on. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest song on earth. Okay, you know that. All right, that's called common meter. 8/6. Got 8 syllables followed by 6 syllables. If you look in a songbook, here's a songbook from up at. I didn't steal it. It came from Trinity up there. We bought some up there a couple years ago because the kids messed them up. Down at the bottom, it's got the meter. 6-5, 6-5, 6-5. Every hymn has that meter. You write a poem. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. 8 syllable, 6 syllable. I want to set it to music. I find a song that's got 8-6, 8-6. I sing it. Let's do the tune again. I want you to sing Amazing Grace to that same tune. You know you can do that? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. See there? It fit. Next time you think of Amazing Grace, you don't have to think of the old one. You can sing it with a new tune. We sing the song, Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? You know that one? Try it out. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? It works. Why does it work? Because there is a structure to the music. That you take the poem that has a structure to it and you match them together. It's clean. That's what you mean by it's clean. And when it has tension, it resolves itself. It doesn't leave you hanging out there wanting something else. Now, how many of you ever watched Gilligan's Island? Okay, do you know the theme to Gilligan's Island? You can sing that. All right, sing Amazing Grace to that. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Was blind, but now I see. Hey! See, it doesn't just have to be a tune in your hymn book. It works with anything that has that structure to it in the music. Okay? You know you can do that, did you? It's okay. My kids learned to do that at Bob Jones University. It's got to be right if it came from Bob Jones University. Well, not necessarily. My point to you is that the music has a structure to it. Harmony, melody, harmony, and rhythm. on the left-hand side of that thing, melody pleases who? God. Harmony pleases who? Man. Well, who's left for flesh to please? You know what Jesus said? He said the flesh profits nothing. Now, you either believe that or you don't. Now, you go home, you listen to whatever you want to listen to there, but listen, when you come to church, you're going to want to listen to that here too. And the reason we don't do it that way, we do it bad enough. I said I played out Calvary. Every time I play it, I play that little jazz chord in there because it's a nice little bridge up. And God isn't against interesting music. He's just against bad music. He wants, and good music is music that is balanced. It has melody, harmony, and rhythm all doing their job, not one trying to do the job of the other and taking over. Follow that? Now, that's really important for you to grasp. By the way, look back at Ephesians. You got Ephesians 4 there? Look down at verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of your mind. That is, in the empty, thoughtless process of living life without thinking about it. 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. You have a responsibility as a believer to prove whether the music you listen to is good or not. Now I know. God knows, if you're under 30 years old today, you never even had a thought about that. You just took what came to you. And what came to you is all designed to feed your flesh. To please you. That's why performers today in church, when they get up and sing, they talk about singing to God, but they're singing for themselves. When you got to go down here and pay $15 to go in and hear somebody sing a gospel concert, they're singing for money. You say, well, it takes money to put it on. It takes money for us to do what we're doing here, too. Where do you get it? You're getting a collection plate. Why? Because some people have been taught some doctrine, and they give to support the truth, getting out to others. You want to be fed? Galatians 6:6 says, let him that is taught communicate to him that teaches in all good things. People on this internet, they want to hear the internet services. Hey, that costs hundreds of dollars for us to do that. Somebody's got to produce the funds. So people out there do that. They send money in so they can hear. That's the way God's work works. But when you turn it into a business, well, when you do that, you got to attract a crowd. And when you turn it into a crowd-attracting, crowd-pleasing issue, then you're down on the bottom of this thing, not the top of it. And that's how come, that's where the rhythm gets in the harmony. And the music's done that way. I'm not mad at people about that. But listen, don't be mad at me because I know something about it and I'm telling you about it. If you want to be like a barbarian, don't know anything about it, let somebody else run your life, fine. But if you want to control your life and bring every thought in captivity to obedience of Christ and have some control over your life and do what you do because you've decided by faith that it's right for you to do based on the Scriptures and the Word of God, that's the way to walk by faith. And if you're a parent here, you know, I've always told parents, you ought to teach every child you have, you ought to teach them. My boys, I did it. You got to learn two instruments. One of them's a piano because you learn all the theory of music playing a piano. You learn all about the step, whole step, whole step, half step, whole step, whole step, whole step, half step, which is the basis of every chord. If you can figure that out, you can figure every chord. Every note has like 20 chords to it, isn't it? Something like that. And like 890 chords you got to learn. But all you got to learn is step, step, half, step, 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 half. That's why there's two black keys and three black keys. Now, you know, it goes right over your head if you know anything about it. I'm just saying to you, there's a form to it. There's a structure to it. There are rules and regulations to it. Learn the piano, you'll have to learn all of them. Then let them learn anything else they want to do. You learn the piano, you can serve God. You know how many meetings you get into that there isn't anybody to play an instrument? Nowadays, you don't have pianos in. Imagine churches throwing the piano out. The piano, the organ, the instrument that carries all of the rules of music with it in itself. You play that trumpet there, you only play one note at a time. Maybe you get good enough to tongue two at a time, but I have to ask your wife about that. But you do want you play the melody. But you get a pin, and they throw. You know why they do that? Because the issue isn't worshiping God in spirit. Now, like I said, I'm not trying to be your conscience. I'm trying to be your pastor, though, and tell you you need to sit and think about. Just understand why we do it the way we do it. When you hear somebody squeaking and they're not on key, understand it's better to be off key and singing right, shooting at what's right, than it is to be on key and out there in the pond in that stuff that the geese leave out there. Okay. Well, music, especially religious music, has just become a personal god for people. And music has all but replaced the duties and responsibilities and work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of most Christians to affect your spirit and your soul and your flesh, your body. A lot of folks get tricked by this stuff because they don't know any better, and I just want you to know better. If it's going to degenerate, keep reading verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alien from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them, don't be ignorant, folks. It's going to mess you up. Now, verse 19, who being past feeling. Now, what is it on that chart that focuses on your feeling? Harmony makes you feel something. When you get past feeling, what do you want? Where do you go? Giving themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. You have not so learned Christ. You know what you do when you get past feeling? It's just flesh. And it don't get better, it gets worse. Your flesh is a hog. It is never satisfied. You give it a little bit, it wants more. That's why it says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. You say, Brother Rick, what am I supposed to do? Well, I'll tell you what I do. I enjoy silence. In the car, I tried talk radio. I got so tired of listening to these jugheads, I just turned that off too. We were out at camp. Beautiful California mountains. I noticed people, they'll bring a pickup truck load of stuff, bikes and things, camping equipment, to go do. And I'm thinking, doesn't anybody do nothing on a vacation? They work hard on the vacation. They go back to work to retire, to relax. God's not the author of confusion, but of peace. You know what you've done? You've let the world train your flesh so that if you just sit, you can't stand it. Electricity went off Thursday. We go home Thursday night, no electricity. Lost the stuff in the freezer, get it out, get it cleaned up. 9 o'clock, it's pitch black dark. Sit there by candlelight, can't read. No TV. What you gonna do? Well, you know what we did? We talked a little while and went to bed. I hadn't been in bed at 10 o'clock at night in 35 years, unless I was sick. We went to bed. Woke up the next morning at 6 o'clock. I told Cynthia, I said, this is crazy to feel so good at 6 o'clock in the morning. Friday night, we were here at this building working until about 12:30 at night. Well, if you're working until 12:30, you get home, it's like 1:30 before we got in bed. You don't get up at 6 o'clock feeling good then. We didn't get up at 6 o'clock either. But you see, the world puts you... And I know you can't go out of the world. And you young people, I understand that you've never had a chance. And I'm not saying go back and listen to Bach and all that stuff all the time. I'm just telling you that not eating at the hog pen is better than eating at it. We're all addicted to junk food. Most of us are addicted to junk music. And if you're not, you can get at that real quick. I told you, I can play that stuff. I just don't. I've spent the last 40 years trying to forget how to play it. Done a pretty good job of that, too. I got out some music that I used to play back in the 60s, organ music. I listened to it the other day. I said, man, that's nothing but just a honky-tonk lounge music. I play up and down that organ, that Hammond organ. Make any sound in the world on that thing. And I was going to play that for you. I said, I don't want anybody to know I could ever do that. Can't do it anymore. And I praise God for that. Now, you have to struggle with the things you struggle with. And you take the instruction, little information about it, and you go let music be what it's designed to be in your life. God said, sing unto God. Sing praises to His name. Extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Jah. That Jehovah there, that's Jesus Christ to the max. And rejoice before Him. And if you're going to use music in your life, anything else, you're using it for yourself. And if you're going to go out and sing, and you're going to talk about singing to God, sing to God. Don't sing for yourself. And when the music, you say, well, I just like that music, then acknowledge you're doing it for yourself. You know, I said it earlier, I think. You need to let the Word of God work effectually in you that believe. I tried to figure out how was I going to conclude this. And by the way, we're going to have one more Sunday on this next Sunday. It won't be one like today, so you won't have to fall asleep and that kind of stuff in it. But there's just a few little ends I want to tie up. But I got to thinking about it, and I thought, you know, when you got saved, you trusted the Word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You trusted your soul, your eternity, to God's Word. I'd recommend that you trust Him and His Word with your music. Because your music influences your spirit, your soul, and your body. You don't have a choice about that. It does it. And it controls. It controls you. You respond to it. So you want to be able to prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the wonders of the creation we live in. We thank you for the fact that we can, even in our music, see the creation, the order, the complexity, the tensions, the resolutions that you've designed into creation to reflect your will and working. And Heavenly Father, I pray that we'd use every area of our lives. There's some young people right here that have real skills and abilities in these things that could, rather than using their abilities for the world and the flesh, they could write majestic music that praises you, that extols the Lord Jesus Christ, and that causes us all to rejoice before Him. We can all focus our lives on that and do what Colossians 3 tells us. Whatever we do, do it all for the glory of God. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just pray that we might focus our lives on that, that these might be moments and times where we sing with grace in our hearts to you. And Heavenly Father, I don't want anybody to take what I've said today to be a beat 'em up kind of thing. I just want them to receive the instruction and then bring every thought in their heart to captivity to the obedience of Christ. Well, thank you for the privilege of it in His name.